Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You're listening to America's Diesel Podcast.
Like in California, there's two things that you can always find. It's, you know, a good taqueria and sushi.
Dude, I love it. It's everywhere. So good. It's so good.
Yeah. Oh,
man, I used to only order sushi with, like, there was this, the one downtown with the Wave?
There's the Wave in sushi.com.
So it was
I think it's the Wave you're talking about, yeah.
And they had one with steak. Yeah. And that would be the only one that I would get. But then I opened my horizons a little bit and started getting different stuff. And I'm so freaking glad that I did. I love eel sauce, too.
Dude,
I don't know what part of the eel they're using, but I like it. I like it.
It's
like
100% eel jaculate.
Yeah. On porpoise.
I like it a lot.
I do want to keep this as part of the intro, so say the serial number real quick and everybody gets into the serial number.
It's fine.
Okay, all right. But yeah, that's one of the... If we just got the live session with you guys and we talked about having family around and stuff like that, that's one of the things that me and my wife are like... We used to get sushi all the time. If we had family in town, I think we'd get sushi more.
Dude, I love it. I love it so much.
Also, just not being in California. That's fuck California, first off, but I do not have any hate towards their burritos and the sushi down there.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is Ben, Tom, and Corey talking about sushi and tacos and burritos and shit on America's Diesel Podcast.
Decent fucking horchata.
Hit me, baby.
Yeah.
The big old wet burritos on a plate, like 500 degrees coming out with some old lady walking with it barehanded.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Called you mijo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mijo. I love you.
What?
I don't know your name, man, but I love you.
What are we talking
about? A little bit of menudo, too.
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about right now? What is it?
Gracias.
What kind of food are we talking about right now?
Mexican food, man.
Are you going to have an Asian person call you mijo?
Yeah.
The way you said it was like kind of Asian. Mijo. You want some mijo?
Dejo, ma.
Mijo, yeah, mijo.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Works better Asian. Not Asian food. Not Asian.
I want you to know, Tyler, I'm both laughing with and at you on this one.
Well,
I'm just laughing at you.
I love you so much, man.
We were talking about Asian food. And you guys have brought in Mexican food. I
oh fuck.
The shops I used to work in San Diego, there was come here, hold my pocket, mijo, come here.
Hold my pocket.
Yeah. It's so you don't get lost, and they'd pull their pocket out. So
what does mijo mean?
Little
like
one.
Boy, yeah. Son.
Little boy.
Yeah, mija, mijo.
Oh.
So I always be like, you know, say that we had a mechanic named Chavez, appropriately, San Diego, right? And, you know, I asked him a question. He, can I borrow a tool? Like, okay. Oh, my pocket, mijo, come here. And he would literally make me hold his fucking pocket. I was like 20 years old, following this like 5'5" Mexican dude, making me hold his, come here, gringo, hold my pocket. Come on. I'm like, Chavez, I'm not holding you. Fuck you, hold my pocket. I'm not giving you the tools, you hold my pocket. Fuck! So I walk across Pet Boys, you know,
holding the man's pocket.
Holding this tiny man's pocket. Big old gringo. He's probably just like, ha, 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 ha.
In my meal.
Fuck you, Chavez.
Yeah. Pinchuelo.
Pinchuelo. No mama's way, Pinchuelo.
All right.
Sore throat kind of works out for the Mexican accent there. This is America's Diesel Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is Ben, Tyler, and Corey. As you can tell, my voice is slowly on its way out. You can find us on Google Play, SoundCloud. You know where to find us. Buy your parts at Diesel Power Products. Check out our Facebook group. If you're buying parts at Diesel Power Products, make sure and type in podcast. Let your sales technician know, because it does help us, because these microphones ain't cheap and all other kind of shit. Okay. So before we get too far off of burritos, okay?
Yeah.
The one thing that I still have not found in Spokane.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a California thing. Maybe it's a Bay Area thing. I don't know. I used to be able to get burritos that were, you know, like the size of a fucking football.
Yeah.
And they would come out on a plate with large edges, and it's basically in like just a drenched in red sauce with a little bit of beans on there and some brown sauce. And they were always called wet burritos. And whenever I order a wet burrito up here, they look at me like I'm speaking fucking French. I'm like, can I get just a big wet burrito? I'm like, what? I'm like,
have you gone to like Rancho Chico?
I've been to a bunch of Mexican restaurants up here.
De Leon's has a good one, but it's not like a California style, like massive.
Have you been to Azteca?
You mean basically the Pacific Northwest Chevys? Also, by the way, I miss Chevys. And Chevys is, you know, it's obviously Americanized, but man, you could go everywhere and get good chips and salsa, and their happy hours.
Do you know who has the best chips and salsa though?
What?
Tecate.
Really?
Dude, their salsa is amazing. I have once bought their salsa in a tub and brought it home.
Nice.
It is it's the best in town. Oh. And they have these enchilada, chicken enchilada with this creme sauce.
Cream fraiche.
It's like a white, creamy, like cheesy sauce.
Is it?
See, oh, I knew it was coming. But yeah. Yes. It's
is it
delicious.
White and creamy and cheesy?
Dude, it is so fucking good, dude. I don't care what you say. I don't care. It's so amazing.
It sure
it's
is.
The best thing you'll
once
ever
once it hits your lips, wipe it up a little bit.
I put it in my hair.
Especially funny because you ain't got no hair.
Put it all over my beard.
I was trying to explain to Jesse, like, how in Southern California you would literally have, like, people driving around the neighborhood like an ice cream truck
with creme sauce
fucking,
in their hair,
selling like tamales and elotes and shit like that. Like, he found that bizarre. I was like, no, people literally drive down the streets and sell you food.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Like, you're making me hungry, and I have no food
dinner
in my house right now.
And the thing is, too, you think to yourself, I'm not buying tamales out of the back of the car. Those are the best fucking tamales you're gonna buy because someone's grandma made them.
Yeah,
and it's probably some recipe that's been handed down for like generations to her, and she makes them with her bare hands, probably barefoot in her like kitchen, because it's the only thing she knows how to do.
Did let's be honest, you're getting a dozen of tamales for $20. Let's go.
Yeah.
Did the meat inside make a rough? Or
don't care.
Meow.
Don't fucking care.
Meow.
Tasted good.
No.
Don't care. As long as it didn't have razor blades or fentanyl on any shit. Fentanyl wasn't an issue back then.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
No, it was all that wouldn't have been ketamine. That would have been
just heroin.
Probably just just go fast and crack, man.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to some diesel or automotive car thing.
All right. I'm gonna pose a question to you guys.
Okay.
Because our last podcast was regarding if lifts add value to a truck.
Right.
Or to appreciate it, yeah.
Yeah, and we came to the conclusion, it depends.
Yep. Definitive answer.
Yeah, but more or less, leveling kit, okay.
Yeah.
Bigger than 4 inches, unfortunately, not okay.
And quality of kit.
Yeah.
So what add-ons for diesel pickups do you think add to the value? And like, don't say your fucking steering wheel cover.
Preventative maintenance stuff. I would say like coolant filters. fuel systems with good filters.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're going with.
The oil filter bypass systems, stuff like that, I think you're always okay with. I think on certain trucks, some turbo upgrades, whether it be like a fleece cheetah or a calibrated power charger or a BD Screamer, are good things that are not going to hurt, would possibly help, especially if a guy is familiar with, especially like 6.7, like early 6.7 Cummins. We all know the turbos absolute suck ass in those trucks.
Yeah.
So if you got, you know, a truck for sale that's got a fleece cheetah on it or something that's, you know, been documented done, then I think it's going to help. But some of those things don't necessarily, it's not going to help a lot. It's just going to be able to allow you to get like the most for what it's worth.
I think
as the truck.
I think what you're thinking of, it doesn't hurt.
Right. It doesn't hurt, but
putting a cheetah doesn't necessarily say like, oh, okay, you could have gone with a stock turbo.
Like you put a cheetah on it, you can get $1,000 more out of the truck. No. But you could get like, if book value of the truck is 30 grand and you put a cheetah on there, like ask 30 grand. And if the truck's clean and it meets those criteria of it being 30 grand.
And I think a lot of it also has to do with just the overall status of the truck. One upgraded turbo with a truck that's been beat to fuck.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to me. That means that you've beat this thing with an inch of its life the whole time you've owned it.
Yeah.
And then it came time to replace one thing and you went nice with it.
Right. Right. And you don't have any other supporting mods.
Yeah.
Like you got a stock fuel system, but you got a cool turbo on there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I still have to do the work. That doesn't really.
Yeah. So I would say, trying to think of a good general rule of thumb, then we might dissect a little bit more. But if it doesn't involve the word custom, you could pretty much hang your hat on the fact that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
If you, and this may be a stretch also for some of you guys too, but if it's not carb legal, that's another kind of good metric to go with.
Well, I was just going to bring up, instead of like modifications, does deletes help or hurt the value of a truck?
In my opinion right now, if I were to, again, we don't condone this, but if I was going to buy a deleted truck, I have very, very strict
standards
that I would need to see for it. And if anything didn't,
where's the line tuning? Up, who's it from?
Give me the device. Yep.
Like, I want to make sure. Yeah.
Cool. Log me in and let me change the password. Like, I want all of this shit right now.
Yep. Yeah.
And even if it's like, if the tuning is not someone that I know of, I don't want it. Like,
What I'm kind of getting at, even just with at this point in the conversation, with like modifications like that, like engine stuff or performance stuff, none of it really helps the value of the truck.
Right.
It just, as long as it's done right, you can just sell it for basically what it's worth. So what does help the value of a truck? What kind of add-ons would? I'm leaning more towards more of the quote-unquote accessory side of things, being it toolboxes.
Amp steps. I hate buying amp steps, but if a truck had amp steps that I was looking at, I'd be like, fuck yeah, stoked.
Like a rack system that has all these add-ons.
Drop-in plastic bed liner.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
That would hurt the value of the truck because he's trying to hide something.
Definitely hurts the value.
He's trying to hide something, obviously. Yes, a bed liner would help the value of a truck.
Right.
But, I mean, there's really not a lot. Like, I mean, good wheels and nice wheels and tires. I think one of the biggest red flags for me on a truck that's built cheaply is cheap tires.
Like Iron Man's?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. No, but I mean, truly. I mean, it truly does.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a set of tires on there that you've never heard of the brand.
Yeah.
Like, dude's going, he's on a budget.
Yeah.
Dude's on a budget. So probably everything else on this truck was on a budget.
Yeah.
You see a guy with like some Nittos on there and some nice like name brand wheels, like nice wheels, you know. He obviously took care of it. He probably put good oil in it. He didn't put the O'Reilly's brand of engine oil in.
Right.
or the, you know, the cheap knockoff fuel filters, or
you can also tell a lot about the oil filter that's on there.
Yeah,
you look
yeah.
at the oil filter, you can kind of tell, you can gauge
yeah
the type of maintenance person that was on this truck.
Yeah,
does it have a factory oil filter on there? Mm-hmm. Okay, either they got it done at the dealership, or they you know, okay, factory is good enough. That's good for me.
Yeah,
does it have like a Kmart brand filter on there?
Yeah.
That's fucking shitty.
Kirkland.
Does it have Fram on there? That means they did their own oil change, but they were also on a budget.
Yeah.
Does it have a Mobil 1 filter on there? Okay. You know, Mobil 1, in my opinion, that's a better filter that you would find at a parts store.
Yeah.
Does it have a Delco filter on it? Like,
how do you feel about the K&N oil filters?
I know I can't remember if they're rebranding their own or not.
I'm pretty sure they're just like a Fram that's rebranded. Yeah, I know, honestly. Right?
I don't dislike them. I can tell you that so K&N oil filters have been out even when we were in high school.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember being at the parts counter, like honestly looking at oil filters because I'd sell them all the time.
Well, K&N was like, oh, that's the expensive one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I remember holding a Purolator oil filter compared to a K&N oil filter, and I could squish the metal casing. Yeah. Of the Purolator, but I couldn't do that at the K&N. I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, well, at least they're doing something, you know?
Yeah.
And when you look at the O-ring, and when you look at inside of it, like the Purolator, like the holes they drill on it, you can still see there's like shards kind of hanging out there. They didn't like deburr or anything. And the K&N one, like there's no shards hanging out.
Yeah.
And the oil, the O-ring is nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's supple.
Yeah.
You know, the groove that it fits in is good. You know, and it just, yeah. I'm like, yeah. And it has a little spot in the bottom to put your 3/8-inch ratchet or a wrench on it.
I've never used one of those.
I fucking love those.
I've never used one.
As a 7.3 guy, I love that shit.
You would.
That's half the, not half.
Why would you even need it on that oil filter? Like, isn't it just hanging off the side of the engine? They just grab it with your bare hands.
Oh, you totally take it off. But it's 7.3 oil filters are notorious for
being over tightened by bros putting
that as well, but just because of, and again, I used to be like, I was a lube tech. Like I've changed a ton of oil filters on different cars. Some of them I know that there's no matter how tight it is, I can get a purchase on and I can rip it off with my hands. Some of them I know I'm not gonna be able to reach, but if I could, I could rip it off. Something about 7.3 oil filters, maybe with the location of it or the vibrations, because I like a box of rocks or the heat cycles it goes through. Every 7.3 I've had, and again, I don't tighten my oil filters down excessively because I've been that guy.
You don't need to, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to. And they're always just an asshole and a half to get off. And having and to get a proper oil filter wrench on there, it doesn't always work that great. So you have to use like even like the normal claw ones that adjust
it. No, just like a band one on it and just
the where it is on the frame, it's you have to do it at an angle and so you lose it. Like it's exposed.
You should be used to the angle.
I know the cock angle. Yeah. You can't, you guys, if you're listening, you can't see it, but I just totally mimic a dick in my mouth. Anyways. But
like on the knees,
laying on my back underneath, you know, I got gloves on, you know, maybe some glasses, just ready to get hit, you know. But because they're so big, most oil filter wrenches don't fit on them.
You have to use two hands. Yeah.
Two hands. Yeah. You get your elbows into it, man. Yeah. So having that spot at the bottom to crack it loose with the 3/8-inch ratchet is actually super beneficial for me. And I've
never used one. I've just grabbed it like a man and took it off.
Yeah. Again, in all of the shops I worked at, like, all right, we're gonna get a little story time.
Okay.
This makes me sound so bad. I don't know why I decided to sell this. So after working in a shop for a little while, and all my friends were going, you know, they were going to college. I was kind of going to college, mostly working, and they were all like gym rats.
Yeah.
I still was not like fat or anything like that, but I was just, you know, they have time to go to the gym and go to school. I don't.
Yeah.
And the one thing that always fucking pissed them off was the fact that I could physically move more weight than them just because I was working in a shop. Like I was like, it's the whole like blue collar dad type thing. Like he may not look very strong, but the dude will fucking wreck a wall. Like,
yeah.
And they hated the fact that no matter what they did, my forearms were always fucking jacked compared to theirs. Yeah. They would sit there and I'm like, dude, I turn wrenches all day. I literally do this all fucking day.
Yeah.
With heavy things and like all my weights on. Like the only way you're going to get this is unless you actually spend a day doing forearm exercises or you start working with your hands. And that's it. They fucking hated it. And I always knew, like, it was a source of pride for me. Every oil filter that I could take off without having to use a wrench, that was my thing. I was I have to be able to just fucking grab it. Just, like, I don't care if my wrist hurts. Yeah, I don't care if my hand starts burning. Like, I'm going to pull that fucker off. Like, every single time. I was heartbroken when I couldn't do it on my 7.3. I had two hands up there, like, like barely, like, my legs start moving underneath because I'm, like, holding on to it. Like, ah! Like, leg on the tire, like, trying to hold on to it. Like, I'm going to fucking get you. Couldn't get it. I feel like I failed.
Yeah.
I feel like I fucking failed.
Yeah.
Because I can't do that with my hands. I did. You totally fucking failed. You failed. So that being said, guys, if all your friends are gym rats and you're not and they think that they're stronger than you, just wait until like you guys start go lifting things up.
Yeah.
It's quite fucking hilarious.
Well, yeah, because you're only used to like a single type of motion.
Yeah.
Whereas like a guy in a shop lifting things, he doesn't give a fuck about form.
No.
He's just lifting.
Especially
it.
In your 20s. Yeah. Absolutely not. Give a
fuck about form.
Like, I remember one of them came to, like, we got lunch one day or something like that, and he happened to be by there. And, like, I was on the tire machine, and I would, and they, again, this is not like they're not big and like that heavy, but just it was completely foreign to him.
Yeah.
So I was changing wheels. It must have been like a Honda Civic or something like that, just like with some 14 or 15 inch steelies on there with like a hub bore about that big or something like that.
Yeah.
With the tire on there, I just stick my three fingers in there, grab it by the hub bore, pick it up, put it on.
Yeah. All back.
All back. Yeah, all back and fingers and arm. And he's like, did you just fucking lift that up by your fingers? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what? You didn't bend down? Like, no. If I bend down, I got to bend up.
Yeah.
Just bend down, grab it with my three fingers, throw on the fucking tire machine. It's a steel wheel. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you use two hands? Because my other hand's holding the tool. Like, you think I'm going to put this tool down so I can pick the fucking wheel up?
You fucking stage in front of this thing, get my fucking legs ready, maybe do a couple stretches? What do you want me to do?
Absolutely not.
I'm trying to get this done.
I warmed up with a 24 ounce of fucking Monster and a cigarette. Yeah, all right, let's rock.
And I had to use a freaking rubber mallet to beat the shit out of the tire to get it off the hub because it was seized on there. Exactly. So that was my warm up. So, and it was horizontal.
Yeah. And of course, that's Ben using with my first impact gun I ever bought, the yellow one, the what do they call it? The Thunder Stick. Yeah. The ones that everybody else in my shop, they literally made me give it back.
Really?
It's so fucking loud. It was the tool truck guy got me.
Took the muffler out of it.
Oh, yeah. No. I was like, I want the biggest, baddest impact gun you got. This is the only tool I'm going to buy. I have all Craftsman shit. Like, it's time for me to get an impact gun. He's like, you want the big, bad one? I'm like, well, I want the big, bad one.
Yeah.
And he saw the 18-year-old coming in.
Yeah.
Like, ready to rock.
I want it.
I want that one. He's like, this one. And keep in mind, this would have been like 2005.
Yeah.
It was obviously pneumatic. No one was using electric at that point. And it was, I think he said it was like, it was obviously a half inch drive. It was heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
And they were, no one was even using composite guns yet. Everybody's still using metal guns. So this thing weighed like 9 fucking pounds.
Yeah.
Like, basically broke my wrist every time
I used it. It's got the equivalent of 7,000 horsepower.
Yeah. And I think it had like 1,800 breakaway foot-pounds of torque or something like that.
Yeah.
Completely overkill for working on Civics, okay? Because let's be real. I was at the Pet Boys right by San Diego State.
We use this for semi-trucks.
Yeah. I want the biggest half-inch one you got.
Yeah.
And he gave me that shit, and I put on this. I was busting off studs and shit. Boom! Everybody in my shop, and it had that NASCAR sound.
Yeah,
They were just like,
we'll just like crank your wrist over, like your wrist if you just let it rip.
I'd have to like pick it up with almost two hands, like get it on there, and like have to hold it like two handed just to use it.
Yeah.
And when I was done using it, my arm like fall to the ground.
Yeah.
After like 2 weeks, I was like, so everybody in the shop's pissed at me.
Yeah.
Can I sell this back to you
and
get something a little bit more normal? I was like, we can do that.
I would have just kept it. Fuck it. I would have put some race stickers on it and shit. Maybe some counterweights on the back to ease maybe a second handle.
I was starting to, because I would, at that time too, like we were short on service riders. So I was literally like in the, in the area riding up people and then going to the back, grabbing their tires and going and doing their tires for them. Yeah. And so I'd be typing on the keyboard, like shaking my hand, like I'm losing fucking feeling my fingertips. What the fuck is going on here? And also I push it goes like boom, 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 boom. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
It's like I got good news and bad news, sir. Yeah. Your wheels and tires are on. Half of them are cross thread.
Yeah.
But they ain't going nowhere.
They ain't ever coming off.
Yeah. That's extra Loctite.
That's yeah. extra Loctite. Yeah. Free Loctite,
baby.
They say
cross thread's better than no thread. Yep. Just saying.
I don't know how to tell you this, but this is the next gas problem. Yeah.
If you get a flat on the side of the road, just call me.
Yeah.
I'll help you out. I did this, not you.
Call me on my flip phone.
Yeah.
You got a daughter, right? Okay, yeah. Call me on the flip phone. Truth be told, that was... fucking slayed at that shop again. Pet Boys right next to San Diego State.
Yes.
You do the math.
Yeah.
You do the fucking math. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I don't want to get too far into that. But okay, yeah, so things that would potentially add value to your truck, not an impact gun.
Yeah,
I can tell you that much. Let's see, WeatherTech floor mats. I think that's an addition on there. If someone actually has a book of receipts and if they've done the work themselves, they at least kept a log of when and what was done. That means a lot to me. Other than that, I mean, as
keeping your truck clean, that's the best thing you can do to add value to your truck.
It really is.
To maintain it, just keeping it clean.
And that really goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that higher mileage trucks, they're not always going to be dent free. They're not, I mean,
right.
You may have a tear in the seat, but that doesn't mean that there needs to be like a black mark where you rest your arm.
Right.
You know, it's
your
little
dirty
things
arm
like
and your dirty fingers.
Exactly. Wiping off all the damn labels and buttons and shit. But you know, that kind of stuff. So a super dirty truck with an SMB intake and a fleece cheetah and like a fast system on there and stuff like that. If I can tell the truck's been worked in, but it's still at least been cleaned on a semi-regular basis, that means a lot to me.
Otherwise, on the other end of that, he could have the best parts in the world on this truck. If that son of a bitch is filthy, dirty, nasty, I don't care how many nice parts he's got. It doesn't help the value whatsoever.
Also, if you're going to post a truck, why aren't you cleaning it?
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Yeah,
that's a...
Like, I've never
some
understood
people just don't care.
The, like, there, here's the truck, it's dirty, but whatever.
I blue booked it, put it in excellent condition, this is what they say it's worth. It's like, well, dude, this isn't excellent.
And I'm talking, like, I've seen pictures of trucks where they don't even, like, take the trash out of the back seat.
Do you know which one I don't understand?
What?
Also with the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen where guys don't have floor mats and they fucking literally work a hole in the carpet where their foot rests is?
Drives me nuts.
How do you just leave your foot in one spot that amount of time? Like, are your legs going numb? Even when I'm driving, like, I move my feet around a little bit. Like, I'm not just, like, in one spot, like, digging in the floor.
I think part of that is the, how long have you had, how many miles have you put on one vehicle?
I don't know for sure. All I can tell you is from like my brand new trucks, I put 80,000 on my Eco Diesel.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I did do that.
Because I noticed that I started doing that on my Ranger and.
What, burning a hole in the carpet?
Yeah. I was going through, I never put actually good floor mats in there. I was like working at Pet Boys. So I would just do whatever carpet mats they had in there that matched. But yeah, I would, my heel would put a spot through there.
Wow. Weird.
Yeah. I do also, it also depends on your footwear. A lot of guys that wear boots like all the time, that hard heel digging in there and twisting, that will do it a lot more than just regular shoes will.
Yeah. Never experienced that. Move my feet around.
Yeah,
I mean, my first purchase usually is WeatherTech anyway.
Oh, there's
so.
Chris and Peyton.
Yeah,
what are these assholes doing?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we're live right now. We're on a podcast. Yeah, cool. Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, get fucked.
Bitches.
But yeah, so, yeah, I would say WeatherTechs are definitely a clutch move.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's not really that much. I mean, you have to have like a well-built truck. Like, I would think, you know, but this is something obviously you pay for when you get the truck, but like an AEV truck that's been like outfitted by AEV. Mm-hmm. Like that, but that just already has, already itself is more valuable. So therefore mm-hmm. could hold more value. But yeah, I mean, some of the accessories though, like, you know, grill guards, like those stupid fender flares, like I will never buy a truck again with fender flares on it.
Yeah.
Because those just destroy the fenders. Even with the, like, you have to, if you're going to do it right, and I'm not even sure how long this would last, but there's guys that will clear bra, be, you know, between the mm-hmm. rubber piece of the seal on the fender flare and the fender flare. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long that lasts, because if it's working through the paint, it's probably going to work itself through the clear bra too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a extra layer of protection, but.
No, but. Sorry, Corey, you want to cough or sneeze right now? I'm rolled. Nope, nothing.
Okay. But yeah, there's not much more.
That's the most deadpan stare I've ever seen you have, Corey, yeah. By the way.
How much more I would say that would actually increase value of the truck?
You need a cough?
No, I'm good. I'm working through it.
Same way. I just chewed the last bit of my cough dropping. Yeah. Did not go down well.
Yeah, I don't think there honestly is much that increases the value of a truck.
And again, I think the best way to increase value of the truck is have a truck that's nicer than everybody else's that's for sale.
And just, yeah, take care of it, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, things that I would say, let's talk about modifications that could, you know, really decrease the value, stuff that I would look at and be like, no, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Delete is instant for me.
I'd say a delete is, it's hard for me because I've never really looked at trucks that even have emissions on there. I don't know if I'm ever going to have one of them. But if I were to, it would, again, super specific criteria.
Spray paint, plasti dip.
Yeah.
Any sort of customization on a truck, whether it be stupid, dumbass emblems you bought from Walmart that you think are cool. Any sort of, I've seen some trucks with like stupid, like headliners that they like rattle can spray glued onto the mm-hmm. headliner and customize this and customize that, you know, like any sort of personalization on a truck, I think decreases the value of the truck.
I would agree. Yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of tasteful mods you can do to a truck that is universally cool throughout everybody. And I think we've gone over those in the last episode and some here, like floor mats and like a nice suspension system, like a Carly system on a Ram or something like that. But any sort of like personalization, whether it be what I hate is when people drill holes in the dash to put things in the dash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then take said thing out of the truck and now you've got holes in the dash.
Yeah.
Whether it be like a radio, like CB radio, some people like that shit. I didn't mean to like say it like that. I felt like that was a little aggressive when I said that. Some people like radios.
I like radios.
Yeah. I like radios too, but you know, drilling holes in the dash for stuff like that is stupid.
Yeah. I think that the rule of thumb for me is, and this goes for anything, engine, whatever, anything that I can't actually put back to stock.
Yeah.
Kind of irritates me, you know.
Wiring is huge. People doing shitty, spotty wiring on things, where you've got, you look at the battery post and there's 15 Walmart branded eyelets that are just crimped on with no heat shrink whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, with stupid. I hate light bars. Unless it's in that has a nice name brand mount with a nice light bar, mm-hmm. any sort of freaking eBay piece of shit light bar is stupid. Roof mounted lights, stupid.
Oh God, no.
Even people cutting holes in bumpers and putting cheap lights in there, I don't like that either.
Mm.
Especially because more than likely, if they went cheap on the lights, they went cheap on the wiring, and I can guarantee you they use the same butt connectors that you found in your $5.99 toolkit that came with that little shitty hammer and those stupid mm-hmm. screwdrivers. Like, and they just came with a 5-pack of these little butt connectors that have that hard plastic. They're usually yellow or red or blue. You know what I'm talking about. Like, stuff like that. You can see cheap. Like, if it's a common occurrence throughout the truck where you're seeing, it might that, okay, yeah, it's got lights in here, and you know, that's kind of cool, you know, blah, blah, blah. If it's cheap all the way around, it's cheap everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Like that's usually the case. I mean, there's it's highly unlikely a guy with like nice wheels and tires on his truck, has nice suspension, is going to have cheap lights.
Yeah,
like he's not gonna have that.
Well, here's a good simple things done poorly. Well, like wiring in lights, not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay. But done poorly.
Yeah.
Like it kind of sets a precedent.
Yeah.
You know, or what's the other thing I'm thinking of? Like, let's say they put a toolbox in the way they installed the toolbox in the bed.
Self tappers.
Exactly.
or I just looked right in your soul when I said self tappers.
I made the call.
Yeah. Yeah.
I made the call.
That was a different thing. But yeah. The same thing. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, but again, that was also not
plastic bed liners. True.
I guess I'll be alone. I'll die on this hill.
I know you will. I'm going to bury you when you die in a plastic bed liner.
You put me and I'll slide down the hill.
I will. I'll sit in there with you when you're with your dead body. we'll go down body. The hill.
Feel the rhythm.
Feel the ride. It's bobsled time. And I can hear you just now. I'll be like, this is probably faster than you've ever been in one of your 7.3s, huh?
You piece of shit.
sliding down there with a dead body.
Just smacking you. Oh, Jesus. I'll slide you right to your funeral.
Explain to my wife. Believe it or not. Yeah. Okay, Lynette.
This I don't need pallbearers.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this...
This is how
I have this in writing from him, okay? This is what he wanted. And the shitty part is my wife would be like, I don't fucking doubt it. He's a dumbass.
Yeah.
So do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Oh, Lord.
Airbags.
Airbags?
Ooh.
Airbags done right.
Airbags done right. I don't mind having with the airline thing, I've seen some pretty stupid places to put the airlines.
Yeah.
My preferred method on most trucks would be license plate bolts. I think that is
it's
great,
the easiest
clean,
spot.
Nice area to put those if you can. Like I know on my truck, we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I bought that other mount and I put it up and under the truck on the hitch, which is in the middle of the truck. It's not getting a lot of spray from the tires because I do have mud flaps too. And that was a great spot for them. Like I've never had an issue. I keep the caps on there. I haven't used my airbags in forever. So I could probably take them off and sell them honestly at this point because I really don't need them. But yeah, doing it right, making sure the hoses are routed properly. Like I like the way that we routed the hoses on my, on my truck. What would be another one?
Snipping your damn zip tie tails.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of going the extra mile with wiring and buying that sheathing.
Yeah.
Just buying that sheathing. This stuff is so cheap. And you could it is amazing how much better it looks under your hood. Instead of having your random colors of wiring. I mean, we've all done it. I've grabbed wiring just out of my toolbox. It's like, oh, that's the same gauge. It's a different color, but I'll use it. I don't care.
Should you get this done?
Yeah. But if you cover it up with a sheathing, one, it looks like you did a professional job. It hides the fact that you used three different colors of wires for whatever you're doing. But I think, too, just making sure your wire connections are good connections and waterproof, especially if they're exposed to the elements, whether you use those butt connectors that are the heat shrink butt connectors, or just you could use those cheap butt connectors, heat shrink over it.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll hold everything in place too. Cause we all know how shitty those things are.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately you'd want to get a good, if you're going to use a butt connector, get a good one. You know, I try not to use them, you know, as much as possible, but you know, do your due diligence in protecting that wiring. I mean, corrosion's a real thing and it happens quick.
Yeah.
Way quicker than you think it's going to happen.
It really does. Especially in certain spots like up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a turbo that would, a big single turbo would turn me off of a truck, but I could potentially turn that back to stock, so it wouldn't necessarily, they wouldn't be a turn away feature for me, but it wouldn't necessarily add any money.
Dude, I took a call for a guy the other day. It was a 2015 Ram. He told me it had an S480 single, and he was looking for injectors and a pump. And I told the guy, We usually get the call like an S475 or something.
Yeah.
He's like, it's an S480. I'm like, okay, that's like,
it's big.
I'm like, dude, honestly, he's like, the truck drives fine. I'm like, dude, no, then it's not an S480.
Or it's compound and no one told you that.
Yeah, like, no, he's like, no, it's a single turbo. I was like, here's the deal. For one, that is a single turbo on a truck. Is ginormous. That truck would not, especially with stock feeling, that truck is going to drive like absolute shit.
Yeah.
Like terrible. It would be terrible. So he either thinks it has an S480 and it actually doesn't, or you never drove the truck. And if it actually has an S4, like I looked up just like a generic, obviously there's, you know, different sizes you could probably get of an S480, but I'm looking at it. I'm like, dude, the exhaust housing is ginormous. The compressor wheel is ginormous.
Yeah.
Like the turbine wheel, ginormous. I'm like, dude, that's not going to work. No. like the feeling that I'd have to sell you for this truck is so obnoxious that this truck would be completely undrivable.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to work. And I was like, you need to look up the specs of this turbo and tell me exactly what it is. Cause a lot of people will think they have, like a lot of people think they have something bigger than they don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or they'll just say it like it's an S 400, but it's got an 80,
turbine
or something. Yeah. Like, and they think, oh, S 400, S 480 there, you know, it is.
It's a 472 80.
Yeah. Cause I told the guy, I was like, if you're telling me the truck drives good, it doesn't have an S 480.
Yeah.
And in order for us to sell you injectors and a pump, I need to know what turbo's on this truck. And it's 100%. Not an S480.
Yeah.
Like the guy was adamant though. I was like, dude, there's no way. There's no way. No, that was stock feeling, dude. What do you, that's not going to like, I can't even imagine how that truck would drive with a single S480. It was like an 83 millimeter compressor. Like just outrageous. I'm like, I even told him, I'm like, honestly, sir, I was like, that turbo is typically used as the low pressure turbo in a compound setup.
Yeah. And even then it's big.
And even that is like that's like a 1500 horsepower compound setup.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if he ever called back, but
that's a lot.
That's a giant turbo for a stock field truck. And for him to say it drives good, I guarantee it's not an S480 on there. He's got something else.
Yeah, something else happening there.
It's an S400 base turbo with maybe, like we talked about, like an 80.
If it actually drives good, he's probably like an S468 on there or some shit like that.
Probably. Yeah. But not in the 80s.
No.
Like, I literally just looked up specs for just a base S480 turbo. And it was, I can't remember the size, but it was obviously 80. Like, I mean, it's a giant turbo.
It's a big motherfucker.
It's like a T6, yeah. Like fucking 5-inch outlet.
Yeah.
Like it's
a party turbo.
No, bro. And then he was asking about an engine brake and that's where I kind of lost him. I was like, dude,
are you towing like, with this motherfucker?
He wanted to sound like a semi truck. His customer said that he wanted to sound like a semi truck. I'm like, well, you should buy a semi truck.
Yeah. Guess what? You can use the same fucking turbo on it because that's how big it is.
I was just like, okay, this conversation is obviously going nowhere because you don't know exactly what you have.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming you. If this is what the customer told you and you're just now trying to find parts for it, I understand. But what he told you is wrong.
Yeah. Also, sir, if you didn't have the wherewithal to question him yourself on that,
yeah,
walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, I trust
you. Yeah, don't ever take a customer that asks for them to make it sound like a semi truck with a Jakes on.
No,
that's a red flag.
What I'm telling you, as far as like advice to the shop owner, like if you don't know enough to ask that guy, really, single S480,
yeah,
on that truck with stock fueling, if you don't have enough wherewithal to ask him about that on your own, and it's no disc. I'm sure you're a great shop. Maybe you've worked on a bunch of other stuff before, but you don't want none of this.
Yeah.
Don't do this. Is not your first one.
Yeah.
Don't do this to yourself. Yeah. Please, dear God.
Yeah. I gave him a little bit of some schooling. I was like, dude, just do me a favor. I was like, just call me back.
Yeah.
just call us back. Get this. He's like, because I think he got the specs for the turbo on a sheet somewhere. Sure, I was like, so. I was like, I get it and call us back. I was like, that's the only way we can get you into the right fueling. Mm-hmm. And if it is, in fact, what you say it is, see your wallet. It's going to get expensive real fast.
Yeah.
Like real fast.
Yeah. Let me guess. Stock 68 RFE. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. 40s, 342s. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
It's great. Yeah. Great.
This truck is doomed for disaster already.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to about wrap this episode up. We greatly appreciate all you guys tuning in. Hope you enjoy this one, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe and check us out at dieselpowerproducts.com.